He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday, June the 14th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Well, we're hoping to find some direction in the market here this week. So far, we don't have any out of the gate here this morning. The Dow down 144. That puts it at 34,335. But, yeah, it's just 400 points away from an all-time high. And speaking of all-time highs, you had the S&P 500 hit one, another one, all-time high, on Friday. But today the S&P is down 10 points. That's a quarter of a percent. It's at 42.37. And the NASDAQ, which just broke 14,000 once again for the second time in its history, it was up, but it's fading now. NASDAQ up just 7 points. Maybe, traders, investors are waiting for the Fed meeting this week. Be interesting to see what they say about inflation and about interest rates. There continues to be a debate going on concerning inflation and concerning interest rates. The big story today seems to be Bitcoin. Good old Elon opened his mouth, and Bitcoin is up 4,563, and it's back above 40,000. And that's really the only real bright spot I could see in the market today. It's all the usual Bitcoin stocks, like Riot Blockchain, Marathon Digital, MicroStrategy, Silvergate Holdings, Coinbase, etc. Little activity in the transportation shipping stocks. And the oil stocks, maybe just a little bit. And there's some biotech stories today. Where is that 10-year yield? It's been pretty quiet lately. It's at 1.49 this morning with the Fed meeting on deck for this week. So welcome to the Monday, June the 14th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had a pretty good day in the market last Friday. It was a good day for the cyclicals. It was a good day for the value stocks. Today, about all I'm seeing out there is the Bitcoin trade seems to be back in vogue, thanks to Elon. The market continues to seek direction here. We're trading 34,300 on the Dow, so you're about 400 points away from its all-time high. 35,000 seems to be resistance. The NASDAQ has a little lift under it. It's up 19 this morning to 14,089. It's also closing in on its all-time high, and the S&P 500 is at 42.39. You know, the S&P seems to be pricing in that proposed Biden tax hike. And if you do the math and you go out 12 to 18 months with the tax hike, we don't know what the tax hike will be. We don't know when it will happen. But if you're going to use maybe the minimum 15% tax on corporations, that's going to take a bite out of S&P 500 earnings. And it would lower the target price on the S&P 500 to about 4,200. And guess what? That's where this market has stalled out, right at 4,200. So I'm just wondering if maybe the market is pricing in a pending tax hike out there on corporate taxes. And like I said, the Fed will meet this week. It'll be very interesting to see what the Fed has to say. And there's different takes on that, which we'll get to. It mostly involves inflation. Some say inflation is transitory. That's what the Fed is saying. And others are saying that inflation is out of control. So we'll look at both sides of that debate and what the Fed might do this week. And more importantly, I honestly don't think they'll do anything. It's what they say that will really matter here this week. And as I said, Bitcoin is the big winner here today, the Bitcoin sector. Riot Blockchain, Marathon Digital, MicroStrategy, Ethereum, Silvergate, Coinbase, that's the hot sector in the market today. The 10-year is down below 1.50. It's at 1.49. Not much action there in the 10-year. But, you know, if you think that inflation is real, well, you're going to see interest rates head back up. In fact, Citigroup says that they are sticking to their call of 2% interest rates by the end of the year. That's Tobias Lefkowitz, who is the chief market strategist at Citigroup. And he's on the side that inflation is real. And Paul Tudor Jones also, he's a guy that called this big rally in Bitcoin a year ago. He's saying the inflation trade is real. And he says this is a very, very important Fed meeting this week to see what they say about inflation. Well, of course, we had the S&P close at a new all-time high on Friday, just above 4,200. The forward P.E. ratio right now is sitting at 22.3. The long-term average is more in the 17 range, but with the Fed being so overactive or underactive and hiking rates, and being so accommodative to the market, that's allowing this high P.E. ratio. The P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 is almost 30 right now. It's 29.68 as of today. So, yeah, the Fed's got to be a little bit worried about some asset bubbles that have grown. And the Fed has to be worried a little bit about inflation here as the economy's as the economy heats up. Last week, you know, it's really hard to find anything that's working in the market right now. I guess everybody on vacation, the hedge fund managers, the institutional managers, there's just really not much direction other than the meme trade, which I refuse to get involved in. The real estate sector, the REITs, were the number one sector last week, up 1.9%. Big deal, you know. Healthcare was up 1.8%. Consumer discretionary had a pretty good week. It was up 1.4%. Information technology up 1.5%. The other side of that trade, with the interest rates moving lower, you had the financials, the worst performing sector last week, down 2.5%. And the basic materials, which also run counter to interest rates, they were down 2%. And the industrials last week were down 1.9%. But there really is. I mean, you'd say, well, should I switch back to growth? I don't think so. I think the inflation trade is real, okay? The Fed can say what they want. We'll see what they say this Wednesday. But it seems to me that the inflation trade is real, which would mean that interest rates would again start heading back up again, and that would not be good for the growth stocks. It would not be good for the technology stocks. And it would favor the cyclicals and the basic materials, the financials, etc., as interest rates start to rise again. Now, that's not happening today, but we'll keep our eye on that. The meme trade, well, we'll watch AMC this week and BlackBerry and GameStop and Clover Health and Clean Energy Fuels and Geo Group and see how they perform. And, of course, Bitcoin, which is up over 10% today after a pretty good trip to the woodshed here over the last few months. Consumer sentiment rises more than expected in June, even with inflation concerns. Consumer sentiment, that's the University of Michigan, which is probably the most watched consumer sentiment gauge, comes in at 86.4. versus 84, which was expected. And we're going to watch interest rates this week. You know, if they stay right where they're at, just under 1.5, that will probably continue to be okay for the tech stocks. There's a few tech stocks moving here and there. Adobe's been a pretty good performer. Amazon's been a pretty good performer. But I can't say that the tech sector is really a hot sector. You know, there's just very lukewarm with a few bigger movers than average here and there. And when we come back, I want to go through this whole inflation debate. A couple of people weighing in here today on where they think it's headed. And if you're looking for direction in the market, I say it's all about interest rates and inflation down the road, and which way those two are headed, and, of course, which way the Fed is headed. So maybe this week, certainly not today, we're not getting any direction, but maybe this week we'll start to finally get some direction in what's been a very sleepy summer doldrum kind of market here on this June 14th. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, Paul Tudor Jones is a pretty well-known hedge fund manager, been in the business a long, long time. He's made some really good calls during his career. He says that things are going absolutely crazy right now in the inflation arena as the Federal Open Market Committee gets set to meet this week. He says, now this is Paul Tudor Jones, this is the most important Fed meeting we've had in 5 years, Jones says. He'll be watching very carefully. And if Fed boss Jay Powell shrugs off the perky inflation numbers, that would be a green light for heavy bets on every inflation trade. Well, the inflation trade is the basic materials, it's the industrials, it's the cyclicals, it's the financials, etc. But, of course, now that is one man's opinion. The bond market, on the other hand, is signaling a transitory, meaning it's a temporary bout of inflation that we are going through. So who's right, the bond market or Paul Tudor Jones? Well, generally speaking, the bond market is correct, but the bond market could be wrong. Thursday's CPI print came in hotter than expected at 5.0%. That's the highest level since August of 2008. But you go to core inflation, which came in at 3.8%. That is the highest inflation since 1992, okay? The hottest inflation in the last 29 years. But you're hearing from the Fed, and the bond market seems to agree, at least for now, that it is transitory as we come out of a COVID-induced recession and shutdown of the economy, which is now ramping back up faster than expected. Energy prices, big part of that moving up. Oil's over $70 or right around $70 per barrel. Used cars, new cars also, because of input costs. Shipping and steel prices have risen dramatically. Lumber prices have risen dramatically. So we shall see. Who's right, the bond market or Paul Tudor Jones? But the Federal Reserve obviously is expected to not move interest rates. Fed fund rates now sit at 0 to 0.25%, basically at zero. It's widely expected that no tightening will occur, but investors will be watching closely for any signals that the Fed is setting the stage to become less accommodative. Now, how would they do that without changing interest rates? Well, they could do that with their balance sheet. They could back off somewhat, what they seem to be doing, back off somewhat from their ETF bond purchases. In fact, they're going the other way, and they're selling their ETF bonds. their bond ETFs, and they are backing off of their asset purchases. But with inflation climbing, the investors and economists are going to be really focused on the central bank policymaker's summary of economic projections, specifically the dot plot charts. Now, that's something fascinating to look at, but it is important, those dot plot charts showing officials' expectations on when they expect interest rates to start rising. And consensus seems to be early next year, about 6 to 7 months from now. That's when most economists are expecting the Fed to start hiking interest rates. Okay, well, like I say, the bond market after that hot inflation report on Thursday basically didn't move at all. It didn't even budge. It remained at 1.48, 1.49. So interest rates very benign, at least as of now. But, you know, this Wednesday's statement by the Fed could be a real market mover one way or another. Now, Paul Tudor Jones, he weighs in with his opinion that inflation is real. Citigroup, still confident that the 10-year yield will hit 2% this year. Well, that would be a big rise from where it's at right now. You got to get 50 basis points to the upside here to get back to 2%. The stock and bond market are starting the week cautiously. That's an understatement. They certainly are. The only thing moving right now seems to be Bitcoin. Treasury yields are little changed, with the 10-year just under 1.50% as traders await the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting. And they'll be listening for talk of tapering bond purchases, taper talk. Maybe there will be a temper tantrum. We don't know. Citigroup continues to like the inflation trade, especially the financials. So anyways, that's Citigroup. Citigroup has a price target of 4,000 on the S&P 500. Well, that's a problem because the S&P 500 is currently at 4,234. Now, if you're looking for sectors on the move, boy, I'll tell you what, there's just no leadership in the market whatsoever. The only two sectors that I can really point to would be the transportation shipping sector, which is BDRY. There's an ETF that covers that. And I would say the oil and gas sector. I would say IEO and a lot of the underlying oil and gas stocks. That's about the only leadership in the market. And you've got, who is saying this? This is all about watch out for the next oil crisis, okay? This comes from Sector Watch on Seeking Alpha. Oil prices edged up this past week. Oil traders will be watching the election in Iran. Okay, that's why I get up every morning and read events from all over the world every day, because these events impact the stock market. You got a new leader in Israel. The longest-serving prime minister is no longer serving. That's Netanyahu. Instead, you've got Naftali Bennett leading Israel as their new prime minister. We'll see if that has any impact on market, the future of world politics. And you've got an election in Iran this week, so you could see a change at the top there. And of course, you have the U.S. Negotiating with Iran and maybe at some point removing those sanctions, which would impact oil prices. So that's why we think, that's why we cover world events every day. But this oil trader says he thinks the run in oil has further to go, and I would agree with that. Okay, when we come back, electric cars. Why is the building sector selling off? What about those industrial metals? Has that cooled off? A lot to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're coming off a new all-time high in the S&P 500 on Friday, but we don't have much in the way of direction today. I'm looking all over the place trying to find something. S&P is down 10, so not at an all-time high anymore, 10 points off that high. And the Dow down 147 right now. That works out to 0.45%. The NASDAQ is holding on to a gain today. Let's see, where is that NASDAQ? You got oil prices up $71 per barrel. That's the highest we've seen oil. That seems to be one of the very few sectors working right now. The NASDAQ is up a measly 13 points. Lumber prices log us their big ever weekly drop, but analysts see long-term strength. Well, you know, I've seen that whole building sector, the home building sector, the building supply sector. It's really taken a correction here. And whether it picks back up again, it's too early to tell. Lumber futures down 18% last week, and the biggest weekly decline for the most active futures in records going back to 1986. That was a huge, huge decline. Sawmills appear to be catching up with the heavy home building demand in North America that fueled the rally. That's what trade publication Random Lengths reported. They reported further declines in several wood products that trade on the cash market, also pointing to plenty of mill offerings. However, if you take a longer term perspective on all of this, with strong U.S. home building expected for several more years, lumber prices should stay above $500 per 1,000 board feet for the next 5 to 8 years, said Scott Reeves of Domain Timber Advisors. He said nosebleed prices won't last, but strong demand, a limited supply response, and a rising cost curve all point to above-trend prices for at least the next 1 to 2 years. Well, there's a lot of lumber ETFs like wood and cut and nail and XHB and ITB, which are the home builders, and then you've got the lumber stocks like Weyerhaeuser and Resolute Forest Products and Potlatch and the others. So I continue to own one in that space, and it has definitely weakened quite a bit. The U.S.-China tech Cold War presents bigger risk to some companies than others. Well, you know, that Cold War has continued. It really heated up under Trump, with him putting a lot of sanctions and banning and barring a lot of companies from doing business in the U.S. But it's really continued under Biden. The war ramped up during the Trump administration with such milestones as blocking the Broadcom-Qualcomm deal. Of course, Broadcom is headquartered in Taiwan. Concerns about dominant Huawei and a drama around social media hit TikTok. This trade war was expected to cool off somewhat with the arrival of a new administration, but it hasn't really happened. The unprecedented chip shortage out of Asia supply chain and a host of various cyber attacks on U.S. enterprises have further fanned the flames of this looming UFC match. That's what Dan Ives calls it for Wedbush. The UFC match between the U.S. and China in a technology cold war. In the meantime, a $250 billion Senate bill aimed at countering China's rise is a step in the right direction. Well, I've also seen a big cooling off in the semiconductor sector. It just seems like all the sectors that were working last year, hardly any of them are working this year. And the only sectors that are working this year seem to be ones that didn't work last year. It just seems to be the way it is here in 2021. Well, Dan Ives thinks that this Cold War between China and the U.S. is going to go on for many decades. Well, we'll see. A lot of, you know, China stealing our technology secrets, not allowing companies in unless they share their secrets with China. Apple has nearly all of its iPhone production in China in the flagship Foxconn factory, and Chinese consumers represent 20% of the phone's global sales. Tesla has also built its flagship gigafactory in China, with the country set to make up to 40% of global deliveries by 2022. So you can see a couple of stocks there are right in the crosshairs, Apple and Tesla. You know, I haven't checked in on Tesla. They had their big announcement of their new Plaid car, which puts a Plaid Tesla is at about $129,000. It has a range of 390 miles and can go over 200 miles per hour. Tesla stock, you know what? It's a pretty dull chart. I would just say that the support level is about 550 on Tesla. It's trading at 617, but I would say look at the old high of 900 and consider that Tesla, which was the most expensive stock I've ever seen in the market, is off about 35% from its all-time high of $900 per share, which it set back in late January of this year. Two more FDA advisory panel members resign over Biogen's new Alzheimer's drug. Now, that's three people that have resigned. They didn't like the decision. It was a controversial decision. They voted this drug down a couple of times, which is Aduhelm. It was approved last Monday. You know, three people on that panel that voted against it have now resigned, saying this drug really doesn't have any efficacy yet. It's going to be a big hit. There will be a lot of people, a lot of doctors subscribing this drug for their Alzheimer's patients. So I guess only time will tell. There is a stock today, Enochian Biosciences, E-N-O-B, ENOB. It is up 127%. This stock company, headquartered in Los Angeles, California, they have FDA acceptance of a pre-IND request for potential HIV cure. Well, that would certainly be a big drug. This is a very small company. It's a half a billion today, however, $486 million. The stock has more than doubled in today's trading. It started the day under $5 per share. And right now it's at $10.05 per share as the FDA is clearing the pathway to have a look at their potential HIV, and underline the word potential, HIV cure. Oatly catches a wave of bull ratings after a quiet period ends. Well, after companies go public, and before they go public, really, it's before they go public, they can't say much. They can't be meeting with analysts and giving out earnings guidance and this kind of thing. Well, that time period has ended. Now they're speaking with analysts. I don't know. Oatly is just another plant-based, making oat-based milk. Talk show host, Oprah Winfrey, is involved in this talk. She's done all right, I'm sure. It's already, OTLY is already a $16 billion company. It went public at 17 and now it's 27. It's actually a Swedish company providing oat milk-based products like milk, ice cream, yogurt, cooking creams, and spreads. It's trading at some pretty high multiples. You might want to take a look at that before you drink the oat milk there. Is a very, very expensive stock. NIO. Now, those were a couple stocks. You know, I was really looking hard. I'm going through 1,500 charts a day these last couple of weeks, trying to find anything That's interesting. And maybe I'm finding one or two a week. For instance, in the newsletter last week, I bought two new stocks that were reflected in the newsletter. But I had to look at a lot of charts to find those two. What were they? Well, you can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. We'll have a featured stock of the day.
You gotta go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, just a reminder, next week, I'm just looking at my calendar here, I will be in Sarasota, one of my favorite places to visit, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And on those days, I'll be meeting with people that want to talk with myself and Mike Mooney from Southport Capital, who helps run that Lakewood Ranch office down there. We'll also have Paul and Barry there meeting with current existing clients. We'll be meeting with folks at the Lakewood Ranch office. And then on Wednesday evening at the Grove at 7 p.m., I will be doing a workshop. It'll last about an hour. I know everybody's got to get to bed by 8:15, 8:30, including myself. But I'll go over, the highlights of the market, what is working this year, what isn't working this year, and why, and what my prospects are going forward for the stock market, for the bond market, Bitcoin, you name it. We'll talk about it on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, if you want to make an appointment with us or come to the workshop or both, you can give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Okay, well, we'll go to Houston instead of Sarasota for our featured stock of the day. It's the stock hitting new all-time highs. That's always a good thing. There's not a lot of that in today's market. I'll have to go through the new high list. It's pretty low. That's a low new high list. But it's not a high new low list at the same time. It's just a very dull market right now, kind of a summer doldrum kind of thing. I think there was a lot of pent-up demand for vacation when the kids got out of school. And it just seems like, there's just very light volume in the market right now. That will change at some point in time. And I'm on it every single day waiting for that tidal change. Moving from low tide back to high tide and getting some current going in this market. There's just not a lot of current right now, and there's not a lot you can do other than look for those one or two, three stocks, that are working in a sector maybe. One of those that's working for us is Callon Petroleum. The symbol is CPE, and it's in the oil and gas sector. One of the few sectors that is actually working here in 2021, with the economy opening back up, that's helped push gas prices higher. With OPEC keeping production under control somewhat over there, keeping the supply down, that's helping somewhat. Iran's a big wild card right now. They do have an election. We'll see what happens. And the Biden administration is talking about removing some of those sanctions the Iran is not allowed to sell oil into the markets right now. Maybe that would be eased. We'll see. But in the meantime, Callon Petroleum hitting a new all-time high, or at least a 52-week high today. The stock has gone from $5 a share last fall to $51 per share. Now, the momentum grade on a scale of 1 to 100 is 99, okay? That's high as it gets. It could be 110, I don't know, but it's capped at 99. Callon Petroleum, with the symbol CPE, is one of the strongest stocks in the entire market right now. So it has that momentum piece of the equation, of the puzzle, that I give high regard to. But I don't like momentum by itself, okay? I like to have some fundamentals that I can sink my teeth into and, you know, have something to put a valuation on. That's my trouble with a lot of these stocks. That you just can't, they don't have earnings, they don't have sales. You can't really put a valuation on them. That's my issue with the cryptocurrencies, etc. I like something I can, you know, sink my teeth into a little bit. Now, Callon is expected to make almost $11 per share next year. The stock is currently trading at 51. So if you divide 11 into 51, you get a forward PE of just under 5 right now. The market's trading at a forward PE of 23 right now. Callon trading at 5, but getting a big boost by this sudden, you know, going back to work, people on the road, more cars using gasoline, etc., shippers, transportation companies gearing up again, and it's putting the crimp on oil prices and gasoline prices right now. But at just 5x forward earnings, the growth rate, that's hard to predict. It really is. You know, I'm just sticking somewhere in the 10 area. If Callon can attain 10% growth over the next several few years, you're looking at a forward or a PEG ratio of 0.5. You're looking at a stock that's trading at about half of its growth rate. We own Callon in our emerging growth portfolio. It's a small cap. It's $2.4 billion. So we'll make Callon, CPE, our featured stock of the day. Now, we found two new ones last week, and I've got about two or three lined up for this week that I'm circling. I'm circling. Each circle, like a bird dog, gets a little tighter, and eventually may move in and pounce on those stocks. But if you want to see the two that I bought last week, you can get a free 2 weeks to my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That macro outlook, too, is also really important. I did some updating of that. You have to really do two scenarios. You have to do one without a tax hike and one with a corporate tax hike, because that will have an impact on the earnings, and that's part of that valuation equation. And, of course, that multiple that we're using right now is pretty rich, and it could start to contract if interest rates start to head higher again. That's not happening yet. It will be all eyes and ears on the Fed announcement this Wednesday. I'll be all over that. And if you'd like to make an appointment with us and get some active management going on instead of sleepy management going on, the world is anything but sleepy. The economy is anything, the sector rotation, anything but sleepy, world events all over the world impacting the market. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or you can go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.